Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, you're going to be glad you sit by me. Now I want you to say it with some conviction. Are you ready? Look at him and say, because I'm all that, a bag of chips and some government cheese. Yep. See, sometimes you got to speak those things that aren't as though they were, right? Amen. Amen. I don't know, about 6 years ago, we began a series on the destination. And we've been talking about destiny. And then I was off for Wednesday nights for about a month. And so, but tonight I want to talk to you about destiny. Talk to you about destiny. Everybody in here has a destiny. Now, I know that you've heard 100, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard 100 pastors say that. Hang on, my OCD's kicking in. Joker ain't moving right now. It's all right. All right, so you've heard 100 pastors say that you have destiny. Now, let me help some of you out. That you are you're all that in a bag of chips, but let me help you. You're not all that in a bag of chips. The problem is I believe, and I was praying about it today, that I think that somehow, Rick, we have come to a place in our lives that we've been told that we have a destiny so much, and everybody does, but some of us think that it's quote unquote bigger than what it is. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, you know, I want to do what everybody, I want to be the greatest. Listen, if you will just concentrate on being the best you, you know, I years ago, I wanted to preach like T.D. Jakes, but I realized, one, I'm not black. Now, I people have heard me that wasn't sure if I was white or black. But I know I don't preach like T.D. Jakes, and so I decided a long time ago I could either be a cheap carbon copy of T.D. Jakes or I could be the best Ronnie Reed. And there ain't no other person under heaven that is Ronnie Reed. There's some that like me, there's some that are not like me, but nobody is quite like me. And I decided that it doesn't matter that I might not ever fill out a coliseum of 20,000 people. God didn't call all of us to be all that in a bag of chips, but He's called all of us. Does that make sense to you? All right. So I want to talk to you tonight about your destination and how that God will use your intersection of your life to do some great things in your life. He will use intersections that you come into contact with people and cause your life to be changed. And we'll talk about that some today. Now you gotta recognize that not every intersection is of God. And I know people who try to make it look like God, try to make it smell like God, try to make it taste like God, but it ain't God. Alright? Alright, so let's talk about it. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. Chapter 46 of Isaiah. Now, normally I read from the New King James Version. Today I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. And you may say, well, Pastor, I don't have that one. Well, you're in luck because we do. Here's what the Word of God says. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say hang on. Let me take this opportunity to say thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pastor appreciation. Thank you for all the cards, the thoughts, the letters. It has been an amazing time. My wife and I sit Sunday afternoon after we got the children off, and they're 18 and 22, after we got them going back to college and to their house in St. Pete, once we got them off, her and I sat down and read every card, read every letter, and we want to thank you for all of your thoughts, and I'm telling you, they just really bless us. The problem that I have, and some of my staff can attest to this, is once I get those cards, I don't like throwing them away. So they sit on my desk, and then, you know, when I have a jerk come in my office, or I have a jerk that gives me a letter or a jerk that gives me an email, I can pick up one of those sweet emails and take the taste out of my mouth by reading your stuff. Amen. And if you're one of the jerks that have ever sent me something, then lose my address. Amen. It's all good, right? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm not one of those jerks. All right, here's what it said. Remember this. Be assured. Recall it to mind, your transgressors. Call it to mind, your transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Verse number 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. I want you to hold that right there for a moment, Steve, because I want us to read it together, that last part, and say, everybody read for my purpose. My purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. I want to read it one more time. And my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Hallelujah. That's a good word right there. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Got a little ice when I took a drink of water. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that we are here tonight, that we are wanting to not only grow closer to you, but we want to see, God, what you have in store for us. Lord, help us to be understanding. Help us to understand how you work in our lives and the destiny in our lives, because we are all on our way somewhere, but only a few of us wind up somewhere on purpose. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. So my goal tonight is to try to help us to understand and how God orchestrates intersections to change our hearts and help us to faithfully fulfill what He's called us to do. Everybody is called to do something. Everybody is called to live out your destiny, okay? So now let me tell you this. If you are a child of God and you are quote unquote doing nothing for Jesus, you're not doing anything for the kingdom, You come to church and that's your contribution to Jesus. That's not enough. Everybody who calls themselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, needs to somehow, some way be involved in the kingdom work. Can you say amen? Because this is not a spectator religion or a spectator relationship. It is, you got to get involved. How do you mean by that, Pastor? Then let me ask you this. How would it be if you were married? I know we got some newlyweds over here. How would it be if you came home but never entered in and never got involved in the marriage? You just kind of showed up. You just showed up to eat. I can promise you that marriage ain't going to be good. I can promise you it ain't going to last long because somebody's going to be upset. You know, because now, you know, I'm keeping it PG here, but let's just be real. You're married. Remember, you're married. If you're not married, then think about when you will be married, because outside of marriage, it is a sin. It's called fornication. All right. Everybody understand that? And so, you know, how would it be if you were to go, okay, honey, let's go lie together. No, I'm good. Oh, well, honey, let's go somewhere together. No, I'm good. Honey, the trash needs to be taken out. No, I'm good. I just came to eat. I just came to see what's happening. Honey, would you pick up your socks? No, I'm good. Honey, would you at least go to the grocery store and buy? No, I'm good. Honey, would you go to work? No, I'm here and this is what I do. I can tell you how far that'd go in my house. Not very far. But pastor, your wife's only 4'10 and a half, but she packs a powerful punch. How do you know? I don't know. She's never hit me, but I'm scared she might one day. She watches a lot of CSI. If I come up missing, blame her. Amen. So we've got to get involved in it. Now check it out. The Israelites languished in captivity. They're in captivity, and the fierce Babylonians had invaded Judah, had sacked Jerusalem, had taken most of the other inhabitants back to their own country. But as most of the Israelites fled their home with little hope of returning, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commanded his officials to find the best, the brightest Israelite men to come and serve in the royal court. Now, these men who worship Yahweh would be forced to study the philosophy and the religion of the Babylonians and to worship their false god. Matter of fact, King Nebuchadnezzar said, feed them my meat, feed them meat, which speaks of doctrine, says, feed them my doctrine and give them my spirit, give them my wine, which speaks of spirit. So I want to impart into them the doctrine and the spirit of the Babylonians, and I want to induct them. Now they were held in captive of a hard taskmaster. They used to be held when they were in Egypt. They were held in a bonds and chains, but now they're getting, the King Nebuchadnezzar is enslaving them by enslaving their mind and enslaving their habit. Oh, I could get used to this. What do you mean? I get fed. I don't have to work hard. I could get used to this. But one of the bright young men taken to serve Nebuchadnezzar, most of us know. Now you may go, Pastor, that was not in our text. That was in Daniel. Just track with me. We'll get back there. But one of the men that was taken was, of course, Daniel. And Daniel, here's what Daniel said. He said, he got close to one, the eunuch. He said, listen, just give me beans or just give me vegetables, but don't give me meat and wine. Give me the vegetables and give me water and we will be all right. The eunuch said, no, man, you won't get me in trouble. That ain't going to happen. You know, he said, just try it and see. If we're not better and in 10 days, then we'll do something different. So Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. He refused to worship the king's idol, and God blessed him. But now, here's the deal. Daniel gained the respect of the king and his officials for his wisdom, for his discernment, and for his resolute character. And here's what I want you to get. Even when people don't agree with you, you can gain their respect if you have an excellent spirit about it and yourself, and they will eventually begin to respect you. See, the problem is I wonder how many, if somebody came in and invaded our church, how many of us would the enemy look at and say, they have the ability to serve in the king's court? Just because you don't agree with somebody, you can still respect them. And the problem with so many of us is our work ethic. Oh, we're going to get quiet before it gets... It's all right. But because of our work ethic, and because we say one thing and do another, we have people who don't even respect what you believe. Let me tell you, did the light just go out? Okay, I feel better. Whew. All right, so, have no idea where I was at. Oh, yeah, respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Hey, those are off over there, too. Now my OCD's kicking in. Squirrel. Respect. Yeah. Respect your elders. Respect. Have no idea where I was at. Thank you. Excellent spirit. We've got to have an excellent spirit. Now listen, I totally disagree with the Jehovah Witness doctrine. And I will be honest with you, I get aggravated when they come to my house on Saturday when I'm trying to relax. But I still respect them that they're doing what we're not. You know what one of them said to me? Now, I haven't always been, I mean, and sometimes they really do get on my nerves and because, they, you know, because I'm, the last time they tried, they came by my house, I was still in my pajamas. And my girls were at home and we were all just kind of lounging and it was in the morning and it was about 9 or 10 o'clock. Yeah, I was still in my pajamas at that time. We were just having breakfast and we were just having a family time and, you know, and my pajamas were just shorts and so, and they, you know, my hair's not combed and my teeth are not brushed and we're just, you know, being a family and then they came and knocked on the door and I went to the door. Sherry said, "Ronnie, aren't you going to get a shirt on?" I said, "No. Not." I said, "I'm going to open the door and let them lust at all of this." More like throw up. But anyway. But it's about as rude as I've ever been. I went up and opened the door. I knew who it was. I said, "Listen, I'm just trying to enjoy my family. I don't." And they said, "Well, aren't you upset with the way that the world is going?" I said, "Yes, but we're all going to die. Are you ready to meet Jesus?" "I am." "Well, that's good." I said, "Okay, goodbye." All right, so, but I can still respect them. My question is, how many people respect us? How many people respect you on your job? "Well, they don't respect me because, you know, darkness and light, they're going to clash." I didn't ask you all that. How many respect you? How many, when they get into trouble, that they know they can call you and you're going to touch heaven? How many know that, yeah, you might be a little flaky, they think you might be a little weird, but if they get into trouble, they're going to call you and let you know, "Would you pray for me?" That's the question we've got to ask. Daniel gained the respect of the king. Now, one day, God orchestrated an intersection that would catapult Daniel to second in command over the whole kingdom. In the second year of his reign, God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a nightmare that kept him awake all night. After the magicians and the sorcerers couldn't interpret the dream, the king became so enraged that he planned to kill all the wise men in Babylon. Daniel chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. But Daniel stood up, trusted God, volunteered to interpret the king's dream. Daniel recognized the opportunity that God had given him as an intersected in the king's life to save thousands of lives because of his excellent spirit. Daniel recognized that it was God that orchestrated this intersection. How many of us that you don't even realize it, but you have intersected somebody's life that you will be able to have a positive effect on them, but you're too busy to even understand or hear what God is trying to show you, what God's trying to do in your life. God ordained intersection so Daniel's life would come into contact with King Nebuchadnezzar. Who have you come into contact with, but you were so busy in your contact that you didn't even recognize it as a God moment? Now listen to me. So does the devil also tries to orchestrate some of those. "Well, you know, Pastor, I just met Sister So-and-so, and we're just supposed to be together." You better be careful. You better be careful. "You know, listen, well, I've always wanted a godly woman. I always wanted a godly man." You better be careful. All right? Especially if they somebody else's godly woman or godly man. That is not of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care if a fiery bush come out and just told you, a bush burned and said, "That no, that is not right." It's not. How can you back it up? Right here. "Well, bless God, you can't tell me nothing. The Lord done said to me." Lord didn't tell you nothing. That's the devil and your loins talking. Daniel Daniel played a major role in the God-ordained intersection that led to the conversion of this pagan king. All right? As Daniel, here we go, simply walked in obedience to the Lord, God directed his path and used him to direct the course of an entire empire. You know, people go, well, but Pastor, I tell you what, I just can't do what God's called me while I work. How do you know God didn't call you to work where you're working, to do what you're doing, to speak to somebody in that place, to do what you're doing, to cause them to come to Christ? Well, I'm destined for bigger things than this. You might not be. That's sad, isn't it? That's kind of hard. I know this woman's like, hey, y'all feel encouraged yet? Because here's the thing. What the deal is we have put a value system on what we think is valuable or not. Oh, I feel the ointment messing with me now. We have put a value system on what we think is important to God. But the Bible says that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we give a cup of water to the prophet, then we get a prophet's reward. Right? But we think in order to be, then we've got to ascend the ladder of whatever it is and be on top instead of being in the mix of what God's doing. You know, I say this, and I thank God. I think we've got some great pastors on our staff. We really do. Pastor Cash, Pastor William, whatever his name is, Pastor Steve, you know, Pastor Dennis, Pastor John, and any other pastor that I might have missed. We've got some great guys. But I believe that one of the problems that we have faced in Christendom is that we have taught, and we even teach it in the Church of God, and it drives me nuts, that we teach pastors, in order for you to be successful, you've got to be the lead pastor. You've got to be the senior pastor. You've got to be the top dog. But God didn't call everybody to do that. And I believe why we've got some churches who are anemic and some churches who are not full of the Holy Ghost and why we've got some churches who are not doing what God's called them to do is because we've got people who are supposed to be Sunday school teachers and small group leaders trying to be pastors. And we can throw a suit on you and we can give you the title of bishop or we can give you the title of ordained. But if God has called you to be a bus driver, you're never going to find your best place. You're never going to find what God has called you to and find fulfillment in that until you get to be the bus driver God's called you to be. Well, but Pastor, nobody sees me doing that stuff. God does. God does. See, the problem is we're seeking the limelight instead of His light. We're seeking man's approval instead of God's approval. Have you ever been in church? And I don't have anybody in mind. So if this hurts your feelings, then just send your comments to Pastor Roger Cash at CrystalRiverCOG.com. That's my email address. Yeah. But have you ever been in a church that everybody in the church has a title? Well, what are you? Well, I'm the prophetess over the bathroom. And what are you? Well, I'm the prophet in charge of greeting. And I'm this. And everybody's got a title. But nobody has towels. Everybody has a title, but nobody has a towel. And Jesus is more into towels than he is into titles. Because before Jesus washed sin, he washed feet. Oh, help me somebody. So we've got to understand, we've got to get ourselves out of the way and quit thinking that our ordinary, mundane things that we do for God is not important, but it is. Oh, it's not important, Pastor, unless I preach to thousands. Oh, no, it's important for you to speak to one. It's important for you to open the door. It's important for you to be who God called you to be, where He's called you to be, and doing what He's called you to do. That's what causes you to be successful. Daniel fulfilled his destiny and his, as his life followed the twists and turns of God's will. How many knows that God's will's got some twists and turns? And some ups and downs, and in my case, it's got some hoopty-doopties. You know what I'm talking about, man? You're like, whoa, what happened there, God? I thought we was going over here, and all of a sudden we're headed over there. And then all of a sudden you feel upside down. What's happening now, God? God knows what He's doing. He fulfilled His destiny as He followed God's will. And so can we. But we've got to keep our eyes on looking to God, the author, the finisher of our faith, the one who ordains intersections. Point one. Sorry. That's what happens when I'm out on Wednesday nights too long. God ordains intersections. There's only three, they're real short. God ordains intersections to lead you to your destiny. All right? God ordains them. See, there are some divine interruptions and there are some devil interruptions. You gotta have enough God to know who's been sent by whom. When God gets ready to bless you, He usually sends somebody into your life. When the devil gets ready to mess with you, He usually sends somebody into your life. Well, surely, Pastor, it wouldn't be God, people. Oh, it could be. Because sometimes we can be used by the devil unaware to ourselves. Have you ever been one, just lift your hand if you've ever went through this, that you said something you had no idea that you just said it. It wasn't no big deal to you. You just said something. You were just kind of kidding or whatever the case is. And it just derailed somebody. Oh, yeah. I am like the biggest one, because you know I do it in front of 500 people on a weekly basis, and so I say something that just derails people. Well, I can't believe he said that about me. I didn't even know he knew that about me. I don't know that about you. Amen. Intersections are the points of connection that God orchestrates to lead you to your destiny. God, see, I always tell people that God is in the people connecting business. You know, listen, if I were to come to you and I would say, hey, do you happen to know a good auto mechanic? Most of us would say whom we know that is good and honest and can do a good job. For me, I would say, yeah, Jim Richmond. Yeah, Jim, an auto analyst on Homosassa 490 Road. He'll do you a good job. You can pay me for that advertisement later. Now, if you come to me and said, hey, you know a handyman? I say, yeah, I know a couple of them. But I ain't going to give you their names because they do work for me. So I don't, they got. If you came to me and go, hey, but you understand what I'm saying? You would use somebody you already knew. If you came to me and go, Pastor, do you know a good doctor? I'd go, hang on a minute, let me pray. I know a bunch of good doctors, but I just want to make, Lord, which one? God, give me, just speak the name to me, Jesus. Just speak the name to me. Yes, I'm getting it. Hang on. It's almost there. But that's why some of us want to be super spiritual. Usually when God gets ready to do something, it's because of an intersection. You know, some people go, Pastor, I need a job. Oh, good, good. What can you do? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You know, Pastor, I want God to give me this job. I've heard people do that. Well, I'll tell you, I'm just going to prayer about a job. Okay. Can God do it? Absolutely. Have I seen God do it? Absolutely. But does He do it like that normally? Absolutely not. Usually He does it as we are hitting the bricks, looking for a job, putting out applications, telling our friends that we need a job, and when we go, we need a job, most of our friends will go, well, what can you do? What is your area of expertise? Because here's the deal. Not many times when the employer is looking for somebody, he goes, God, just throw the name to me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. And how do you know that? Because here's the deal. Let me share this with you. When I left Bluntstown, Florida, that was my first church that I pastored. When I was there, I felt a release. I felt like God was through with me there in Bluntstown. Because I I'm being very transparent with you because I've done this, man. So I felt like God was through with me. But then, so I was talking with my pastor and he said, have you told the state that God was through with you in Bluntstown so they could be looking for another place for you? No, I haven't told them. Super spiritual. No, I haven't told them. God's going to put me where he wants me. Okay. Good luck with that. Because usually it happens, but not very often, that God just gives you a name that you don't even know. That God gives you a name and you go, Rumpelstiltskin. Yes, 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 hallelujah. No, it doesn't usually work that way. Usually, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I'll talk about Becky. Becky, how long have you been with us now? Becky's been our, she was our church secretary, then she moved over into our bookkeeping department. She's been with us for 5.5 years. And when I look for staff, I look out in the congregation. God, who is it? Who is it? Lord, show me. And I'll, you know, the Lord, one morning, I'm telling you, God just showed her to me during a church service. And I thought, well, I said, I don't even know if she's got any skills. Come to find out, she used to run the office at Sears. You know, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is God didn't just go, give me, he didn't give me, you know, he didn't say, Virginia Norman. You know why? Because she didn't go to church here at that time. I mean, it was several years before she came. I didn't go, ooh, wait a minute, huh? Yes. No, what I'm trying to say is God uses ordinary to do the extraordinary. But sometimes we Pentecostals get so stinking, that's an Alabama term, we get so stinking super spiritual that we can't let God do what he wants to do in our lives because we want it to be more than what it is. And because we want to discount what God is doing in the other area. It was God that did it for you. It was God, the right time, the right place. It was God. Intersections often come as you're doing the ordinary routine task of every day. Now, I don't know if you heard that. Intersections often come as you're doing the ordinary routine task of every day. Number two, through intersections, God can change your heart. You have an encounter, God can change your heart. Through the normal intersections of life, God changes our heart and gives us a burning passion to walk in a certain direction. You ever had something happen that just gave you, begin to, you know, I'm telling you, I have never had any desire to go overseas to do any kind of missionary work. Because, you know, I'm a picky eater. I'm a finicky eater. You know, I like a decent bed. You know, I don't want to be up in with some straw. That ain't me. I like a bathroom, not the great outdoors. I don't like that. I like a bathroom. I like taking a shower, not just throwing some water on me. I mean, you know, well, you're spoiled. I know I am. I know it. Thank God. So I have no desire, but through an intersection, I went on a mission trip. Now I've been on several. And God has changed my passion and changed my heart in some of those, in those areas just because of an intersection. Now let's talk about Saul for a minute. Saul in the New Testament. Saul's trip, or no, let's go to the Old Testament. Saul, yeah, thank you, Lord. Saul was sent by his father to go find his donkeys that had ran away. Saul was sent by his father in 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 9. It's right around that area. Saul sent, his dad sent Saul and another servant to go find his donkeys that had ventured off. And then here goes Saul and a servant looking for donkeys. And, excuse me. And God began to work on the other end with Samuel. And said, the king of Israel, or the king of Israel is going to be coming your way. Go look for the son of Benjamin out of the tribe of Benjamin, and I'm going to show you who he is. But go look for him. Right? He didn't just speak this name to him. He was going about his everyday routine. You don't think your routine is important, but God works in the faithfulness of his people. You don't think that faithfulness is powerful, but faithfulness is hugely powerful in the hands, because God sees who he can trust with what. If you won't be faithful over the little things, how can you be faithful over those things which you desire? So once God sees, and listen, God already knows. You know, I've only done this one time in my life. This guy came to me and he was crying and he was all upset. He said, Pastor, I didn't get the promotion. He said, I've worked so hard. I didn't get it. No, man, I'm just hurt. I prayed. I know I was supposed to be mad and I didn't get it. And I said, I'm glad you didn't get it. He said, what? I said, dude, I know you. If you'd have got that promotion, you'd be messed up. You can't handle that promotion. I got mad. How dare you? I came for you for some counseling. I'm trying to help you. You can't handle it. How do you know I can't? I said, you didn't do your job good. What you was already doing. You didn't do that good. Well, you don't know that. I said, you've told me about how many times you've been wrote up. You've been rolled up and wonder why you can't get a promotion. You've been rolled up thinking you can't handle the little things and now you think you're going to handle the big things. I mean, you know, have you ever met those people who trip out and wig out over the least little bump in the road, but now you want a promotion? How about the bumps in the road are trying to help you get ready for what God's got ready for you? So Saul's trip to recover his father's donkeys led him to Samuel, who anointed him to be the first king of Israel. God told Samuel to anoint Saul as king of Israel. Point number three is this. When you encounter intersections, God desires your faithfulness. Don't grow weary in well-doing. There is power in faithfulness. There's power in faithfulness. You know, we want to be a flash in the pan, but if you're a flash in the pan, that might be just what you are, is a flash in the pan. But if you don't have the base and you don't have the core value and the core to make it happen, then it's not going to happen in your life. See, that's the problem with so many Christians in our lifetime. Do you know, I promise you, the problem with most Sunday morning Christians, not Wednesday night because y'all here, yeah, whatever. The problem with most Sunday mornings Christians is they don't know enough of the Word of God to blow their nose. They don't know. They think being a Christian is just coming to church. Well, I don't know why I'm going through this stuff. I come to church. They don't understand about warfare. They don't want to talk about sacrifice. They don't want to talk about work. All they want to do is just want to be a Christian. I just want to go to heaven. Well, wonderful. But we've got to do something. We got to do something. And that's why when people get a hangnail, they hang out of church. Hey, missed you Sunday. Oh, I couldn't come. I had a tragedy happen. My nail came off. I mean, I know it's being a little funny, but you understand what I'm saying? How do you know, Pastor? How do you know that most people don't know nothing about the Word of God? Just look at their lives. Especially when the Word of God clearly defines what is and what is not, and they just go, well, it's okay. You know, I'll never forget my youngest daughter. We've never made our children fast or anything like that, but we were on the Daniel fast, you know, which is, you know, no bread. And we were Daniel fasting, and we were at Annette Watson's, and Lauren was about 8 or 9, 10 years old. And Annette Watson is famous for her cornbread. Oh, my Jesus. If you've never had Annette's cornbread, once you do, you just can go through the third heaven. So, I mean, it is incredible. So we were there eating dinner, and we're on this fast, and we're like, and I seen the cornbread. I went, oh, my Lord Jesus. Because we're having collard greens. And you can't have collard greens without some cornbread. Come on, somebody. All the Southerners go, yeah. So here it comes. And my little Lauren, she said, Daddy, is cornbread bread? I said, well, think about it, baby. Is cornbread bread? She said, but it's not like light bread. I said, I agree. I said, listen, I said, that's between you and God. I said, for me, cornbread is bread. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, that's between you and the Lord. You got to decide that. You and Jesus. I said, okay. She said, okay. So she just went. He said, it's all right. Now, and that's funny. And I don't know. It could have been. I don't know. I'm not God. You heard the same thing. Uh-huh. I know it wasn't God for you, but anyway. But here's what we do. But here's what we do. We take that same concept and we go, you know, I know I'm married, but man, Roy be looking good. And you know Roy's single. It's just hard to keep my hands off his head. He is single, y'all. And he prefers women. But anyway. But what we say, I'm trying to be light. But what we go is, I know that I'm married, but Roy is not. And I know the Bible says I shouldn't and don't. But hang on a minute. He said it's all right. That's what we do. That's what we do. And we pray and get an answer that is not biblical and it is not of God. It is lusting, or it is going to what I want and trying to make it spiritual. We can do that when we don't know enough of the Word of God. Moses faithfully herded sheep for 40 years until he noticed a burning bush that didn't burn up. When Moses got close, he heard God's voice calling him to redeem the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. When God intersected Moses' life, Moses discovered his destiny to save God's people. For 40 years, he thought, well, all I'm doing is out here shepherding these sheep. For 40 years. And you think, all I'm doing is this. You don't know what you're doing is setting you up for. Be faithful over what God has placed in your hands to do. Come on, Dennis, or I'll quit. I know I got to hurry. I'm pretty much done. I got a few other things. Let me just see. All right, let me say this. As we travel to work every day, I don't care who you are, unless you work from home, as you travel to work, you're going to pass an intersection. And at that intersection, you got a decision. You can turn right, usually. You can turn left. You can go straight. You know, you can't back up most times. That's kind of frowned upon. But you got a decision. Now, the turn that you take and the direction that you go is dependent on the destination that you desire. So every day, God gives us intersections. What are you going to do with yours? Very rarely do we, and I know some people do it, and I do it sometimes on my motorcycle, but very rarely do we jump in our car to go nowhere. We just don't just get in the car. Where are we going? I don't know. Now, sometimes we do that. You know, I do that on my motorcycle all the time. Where are you going? I'm just going to head north. I don't know. See a road I want to see and go down it. But usually, when we get in our car to go somewhere, we have an idea of where we're going. Folks, as we faithfully complete daily assignments God has given us, as we keep our hearts and minds focused on Him, He'll lead us to and through intersections that will take us to our destiny. See, Saul's servant, if I went back to Saul for a minute, Saul's servant understood that God is the God of the ordinary. Well, I tell you what, Pastor, I don't understand. I don't know why. I read the Word, but you know, I don't know why. I'm never going to preach it. You never know. You never know when you might be called on to teach. You never know when you might be called on that somebody has something. Oh, I just read that in the Bible. Let me share with you what the Word says. What's my next one, Steve? Let me finish up here. If you would just be faithful, God knows how to hook you up and connect you at the right place at the right time with the right people. If you would just be faithful. Be faithful. You know, and I know that we're a church of God, but many of you don't know how the church of God works. But here's what I get a lot of. And Roger and Jane, when they worked in the state office, they heard it all the time. I hear pastors all the time go, well, the church of God's never gave me nothing. We keep waiting for God to just give us something. But when God finds us faithful at what He's already given us, that's when He knows He can entrust you with more. But now check it. Do not get crazy and think that what you're doing is not the destiny that God has called you to. You know, I think about Sister Caps. Sister Caps is a Sunday school teacher. How long have you been teaching Sunday school? Since 71. That's a long time. She's what? She taught your kids. Need to take a couple of them back. I'm just messing with you, Ashley. I'm talking about Melissa. She taught my kids. Goodness gracious, she taught me. No, I'm just kidding. But I wonder how many people has come through her class. I mean, I know one. Do you know how many? Maybe a preacher's or, you know, I know a couple who's come through their classes preaching. Aaron Nichols. You know? How many people? But what would have happened if she wouldn't have been faithful? Or could we say, you know, you've nephews that are preaching. We couldn't come to her and go, you know, you have wasted your life. What? She has impacted so many people. So don't discount what you're doing for God. But do something for God. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. God is the God of the ordinary, not merely the extraordinary. Here's what I want you to do. It's 8:30. I know I gotta quit. I know. But here's what I want you to do. I just want you to lift up your hands to Him. And I just want you to ask the Lord, Help me to be faithful. Help me not grow weary in well-doing. And if you're not doing anything for Him, say, Lord, help me to find my niche. Help me to find. Help me to do. Help me to be. Because if you, God is more interested in you being than doing. Because if you are, then you automatically will do. I don't preach because I preach because I'm called. I'm preached because I am. I can't help it. So Lord, help us to be. Let us not so concentrate on just all the do, but help us to be, and then we can't help but do. Lord, in your name, we want to find our destiny, and let us not overlook the ordinary. Help us not to look to the by and by up in the sky somewhere, but the right now, right where we are, help us to do what you've called us to do, that we may have an impact for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.